fun one tonight. Maybe the most fun preview episode that we've had this year, considering the style and vibe of our previews around here. Anytime that I can get Kevin Ward's mind spinning, just ticking a little bit, trying to figure something out, usually results in good content. And we got that from the jump with this whole quarterback situation. We talked playoff. We talked bets. It's a great podcast. Thanks for being here. Let's have a day. Let's go. Kevin Ward.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Hanging in there. What y'all?
Are you sick? You're wearing a stocking hat.
I just took the dog outside. Tom's pulled out.
It's like, oh no. Kevin's sick. Drake's sick. Drake's like deathly ill through his fight from last week until now. Said he was still visiting the bathroom frequently all the way up until yesterday. Drake, by the way, made an appearance on the Patreon podcast. Wasn't that a pleasant surprise, G-Bone?
Yeah, it was cool. Got a text early in the morning asking when we record now. And he said he had a story. And it was a nice little like 45-minute debrief of Drake's weekend. It was pretty nice.
Yeah, he took the whole show and made it real easy on us. It was pretty great.
Yeah, he just sat there. Yeah, it was good to hear from him, though. I miss Drake. I miss hearing from him.
I do, too. I think he misses us a little bit because he's now made two appearances, one on the Patreon, one on the public.
No, yeah, sure. I mean, like, you guys are you guys have been friends with him for over a decade now. I mean, he probably got pretty used to talking to you guys on a pretty regular basis. And once that gets cut a little short, I'm sure he misses it all.
I had to sleep in the same room as him for a whole year.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of where you're sleeping at, but yeah, I think that's totally normal for him to want to talk to his friends.
I know all of Drake's deepest, darkest secrets. We used to stay up late and talk to each other, tell stories. So that was fun. We're previewing the Maryland game tonight. Who knows how much of that we'll actually talk about. Iowa hurting in the quarterback, but I don't know if you guys have heard it. You're probably a little bit more engaged and aware than Kevin is. But I don't think our team or our coaches feel confident at all about who we're going to put out there on Saturday at this point.
Yeah, what's going on? Like, Cade's cleared to play, but he might not play. What the fuck's going on?
That's just a good way to question it, Kev. You, in a very succinct way, just asked the question that like three or four different reporters tried to ask KF yesterday, and they were just so confused. Sullivan's out for probably definitely the next 2 weeks, maybe the bowl game. Who knows? He's not available. He's definitely not going to play. Ankle injury, which is a conversation that we probably need to have anyway, because it was fun to watch him play, but then obviously him getting hurt is a detriment to the way, like, kind of his style and our health at the position. So that leaves us with Shaggy, old Jackson Stratton, who finished the game against UCLA for us and really went out there and did as good as he could. Like, you know, props to the guy. And Cade McNamara, QB1, supposed to be QB1, who still coming out of that concussion against Northwestern. So Cade is cleared to play. But when asked, it was actually about Linez. Linez got hurt last week or in the UCLA week. That's why Stratton came in and he wasn't on the trip because he broke his thumb or something. Somebody's like, okay, so is Linez back? KF says yes. And they're like, okay, so Linez will be number two behind Cade and Stratton. And then Stratton, he's like, oh, no, we'll probably start Stratton. And everybody was like, excuse me? What? And you said Cade was cleared, right? He's like, yeah, but we'll probably just start it up like we finished last time. And they're like, okay, so did Cade take a step back? And he's like, he is cleared medically, but we don't know if he can be effective. So me and David kind of had this conversation earlier today, which will be yesterday for when people listen to this. What comes to your mind? What are you thinking when you hear that, Kev?
Does he have the yips or something?
That was my question. I was like, does he have amnesia? Does he not remember who or where he is?
How to throw a football? I don't know what to make of that. I honestly have no clue what to make of that.
I immediately thought, okay, so we have Lines, he's back, but it sounds like it's between these other two, Stratton and McNamara, and we know what Stratton is. He's a guy who's gotten 3 weeks worth of ones reps, actual Iowa football plays, learn, you know, our playbook against the defense. A walk-on guy who was fourth string to start the season, and he's who we're going to go with over the guy we paid dozens of thousands of dollars to in NIL money to bring in from Michigan. And that guy is medically cleared, but we're not sure if he can be effective. He only has to be effective to just be slightly better than Jackson Stratton, who by all means is that's not a heavy obstacle to clear there.
This is in no way, shape or form a jab at Jackson Stratton, but he is a step above you pulling somebody out of the stands to play quarterback. He's walk on fifth string, was playing scout team linebacker 2 weeks before.
I mean, I'm trying to liken
Yes, Cade is dealing with some mental issue where he's like just has the yips, can't perform. I in no way, shape, or form believe that the coaching staff now believes that Jackson Stratton gives them the best chance to win over.
There's no way they can, right?
Because there's just no way. He's covering for him, and Cade is just said, I'm done, you know.
And that's the thing. And I don't want to play, you know, I'm trying to milk this podcast, Kev, where we still have credibility and people respect us. I'm not going to turn this into a drama alert YouTube channel for anybody who knows what that is until this thing is just like bone dry. No one listens. That's when I'll become the clickbait channel. I will turn the walk-ons into a sham.
Whoever does the, I don't know if it's you or Gary, but whoever does the thumbnails is really good at the clickbait.
That's Kluver. He's the graphic designer.
And let me tell you, it has increased our views a lot.
You just got to get the shocked facial expressions as well.
I know. We got to start adding those in there. Like,
we're a couple of.
Yeah. Outlined, you know, like outline it with white.
He said, what?
Sullivan out for the season. Anyway, where I was going with that was I don't want to make mountains out of molehills here. But if I'm reading into this a little bit, and David brought it up on today's podcast with the KF Press Review, the way he talked about it and kind of – he didn't even mention it in his opening statement. And then you see the captains come out. And I questioned when Cade wasn't a captain against UCLA, and it made sense because he couldn't travel. He wasn't medically cleared. You're not going to bring some – you're not going to name a captain who's not going to be able to even be on the trip. But they're back home now. He's medically cleared. He still isn't a captain. And what I liken that to was maybe that's a nothing burger. But Kev, if you think about some of the captains we had during our time, and I brought up James Morris as the example. If James was in the same situation, he got a concussion. We ended up having to go on a road trip the next week where he was not medically cleared to make a flight that was going to make recovery weird. So we named another captain for that week. But then we came back home the following week and James was okay.
Even if James isn't okay, but he's at the stadium, James is a captain.
He would have been a captain again. He would have been renamed a captain. So for Kate, so if I'm putting puzzle pieces together here, is there trouble at home? I don't know. Is there a little bit of drama going on? And is that what we're getting into now when we're talking about college football and NIL deals and guys who aren't at a university for 4 or 5 years, they're there for 1 or 2, and the deepened relationships that you have and respect for a coaching staff and a staff's respect for a player and the process, it's just a little thinner than it used to be, and tears and cracks in the system and jealousy and anger and jealousy, whatever it needs to be, whatever it is, starts to seep in a little bit more. And Cade steps up, and internally it's just like, nah, I'm not, I don't know. Drama maybe starts to happen. I'm not saying that's absolutely what's going on. I'm saying it's a possibility. Because it just seems really weird that Cade gets medically cleared and isn't the guy anymore. After all this time, we're like, hey, can we play Brendan Sullivan? Is there any chance Sullivan will get a shot, or is Cade the QB? No, he's our guy. Cade's proven that, you know, he's what he's shown us, and now all of a sudden that's not the case. If he's medically cleared, I don't know.
Here's an idea. We joked about it, but is there a chance that Tim Lester actually was able to unlock Jackson Stratton in the past 2 weeks?
It is possible that Tim Lester has, you know, chiseled away the rough around the diamond that is
in theory, right? Yeah. This is all just theory.
Of course.
You guys talk about, like, really the only ones and twos get reps in practice, right?
Yep.
Right.
So he's gotten, like, exponentially more reps.
Oh, yeah. His his familiarity with the system and the amount of practice reps he's gotten has literally, by each rep he's taken, like, doubled, tripled. Like, it's skyrocketed.
Mathematically, it's, like, infinite amount of time of practice reps than he had 4 weeks ago.
Right. So I don't know. Maybe it's just they finally.
4 weeks ago was like zero.
If we're just throwing stuff at the wall here.
Yep.
Trying to make sense of this. What are the chances that he just finally got a practice? Yeah, this guy's not.
This guy's got a roster, and he's going to be like the. Wasn't Baker Mayfield like a fourth string walk on quarterback
in his freshman year? Yeah, I believe so.
It's Jackson Stratt. That's your headline right there.
Maybe that's Jackson Stratt.
Is Jackson Stratton the next Baker?
Okay, hold on. Here's the thought. For everybody on the YouTube, you need to like the video right now. If you don't, you're an asshole because I'm doing this for you. I'm doing it for content. This is the new thumbnail. Ready? I'm going to do the picture. Tim Lester unlocks Stratton. That's the title of this episode. Now, here's why I don't think that's 100% a joke, right? When they asked about Stratton today, so they get through this. They finally get the answer out of KF. Or it was yesterday, and they're like, okay, what gives you all this confidence in Stratton now, just 2 weeks after he had to come in relief, and like, has Cade taken a step back? Like, what is the reason? Like, how confident do you feel now versus 2 weeks ago? And Kirk's answer to the media with a smile on his face was, oh, I feel a whole hell of a lot more confident now. Is Stratton balling?
Well, yeah, because again, like, he probably hadn't seen him throw football since like April.
He said the words, I had not seen him throw a football. He didn't even meet the guy until August.
Well, again, like, yes, he is obviously a hell of a lot more confident now because, like, he literally knew nothing prior to the UCLA game, right? The kid did lead a 75-yard touchdown drive against a good defense. I don't know. He had a couple good throws.
Are they just saying, like, hey, what's just – tell Maryland expect the unexpected and just like they got zero idea what's coming.
I was just going to say, are they trying to hold this close to the chest? And then when they come out on Saturday, Maryland's just in for one. They're walking into a bad situation. Here's a new one. Maryland's in trouble. You know, like we got a lot of thumbnails here.
Clickbaiting your way. You're pushing the line up to like 15 and a half. Just it's based off of one podcast. They got good intel. Former players.
No, we listened to this one podcast. They said the Stratton kid can absolutely sling it. I don't know, man. It doesn't seem likely, but I mean, I literally put in my notes for the iColt pod today. This is the note. KF is clearly impressed with the very limited valuable reps that Stratton has gotten. That was my note after listening to the press conference.
All right. Let's rewind like a year and tell me, where did we find Jackson Stratton and what is his background? Where is he from?
It wasn't a year. It was about 7 months ago.
He used to play for CSU, I believe.
He's a Colorado State guy.
He transferred from Colorado State.
I believe.
QB swap, huh?
Grant, can you pull up his profile on the Iowa roster? I believe he's a young kid, got a scholarship to CSU.
Okay.
But with Iowa... He's a walk-on.
By the way, when you search Jackson Stratton, a picture of Brendan Sullivan comes up. I just want to point that out. I just want everyone to know that.
And by the way, as Grant pulls this up and we can kind of dive deeper here, I am sad that that Sullivan's hurt. It sucks we don't get to see him play this out, and you guys can give your thoughts on it, but it really was exciting. Look at this guy. It really was exciting he's from Cali.
All right, scroll down. I want to see his high school stats.
It probably won't.
Well, it usually does.
If you go all the way down?
Yeah.
Competed at Colorado State, redshirted after appearing in 4 games. He was 4 of 17 for 78 yards at CSU with one touchdown and 2 interceptions.
Not great.
But now he's got a – look at all these. Now he's got a ton of pictures up from that UCLA game. Right, high school, three-star composite recruit.
Okay.
247 ranked him as the 63rd nationally among pro style quarterbacks. That's not great, but it's not horrible. He was 312 of 515 in his career for 4,500 yards and 52 touchdowns with 19 picks.
So this guy is just gunslinging all over the place.
Yeah. He probably played 2 years, threw for over 2,000 yards a year, had like a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio.
It's a QB that only someone like Tim Lester can tame.
I mean, what if it's just the perfect match, man? It was fun to watch Brandon Sullivan run around. He was just far too aggressive and not aware enough in that UCLA game. And I don't think I have to tell him that, or I think he was became pretty evident pretty quickly. It would have been nice to see him get 4.5 games to finish this year, knowing that he's still going to be on the roster. He's going to be one of the options for next year. Up until this point, he's been, hey, he's our guy for next year. And now we have to go another rung down the ladder. And now does Marco Linus come into the picture? If Cade's potentially...
I got a question about Marco.
Yeah.
If he's healthy right now.
Yeah.
And it's still maybe like Amnesia Cade or Jackson Stratton. What are the chances we ever see Marco take a snap?
Amnesia Cade.
For Iowa football. Like, so if at this point he's still like third, bottom of the list. Like, what are the chances we ever see?
Broken hand, right? Or something? A
thumb issue the week of UCLA. Yeah.
Okay.
If it's a throwing thumb, then I mean that.
I have to imagine it is.
Right, yeah, that's tough, you know, like.
Yeah, to answer your question, I don't think we have a health. Although KF said he was back and it was showing promising. They were kind of surprised at how quickly he came back. I don't think he's 100% to where he can get into the conversation right now. To answer that question further, Grant, Tyler Kluver personally thinks we might never see a snap of Marco Linus.
Kid can run.
He can run. Cade is our least mobile quarterback on the roster of the four, I think. Shaggy Stratton. I'd love to see him scoot a little bit.
Dude, he got into open space that one play with UCLA.
I know, dude. I'm juiced a little bit at just the fantasy world potential of our conversation right now. Like, Stratton is just absolutely slinging it in practice. Like, Jay Higgins and Castro and Schulte, they have no idea what's going on. And
they have no answers for Jackson.
They're just Phil Parker is the last 2 weeks has been like, we don't know how to fucking stop this guy. This guy's unbelievable. That's more of a Coach Wallace voice, but I don't know. I don't know. It's a very interesting situation. The other quote that's pertinent there, Kevin and Grant, is KF said, I think we'll know by Friday who's starting. You guys won't, but we will. And they basically left it at that.
I genuinely believe he has no idea who's going to be the one trotting out there Saturday morning.
And that's what I told Eichholt. I was like, when he says that, I think he absolutely means it. I think at this point in the season, defensively, a couple times, they've been at a loss for answers of what's going on. And now offensively, with this quarterback health situation, I think they are on their heels. They straight up don't have answers for the public. And they're going into this week blind like everybody else. Hey, is Stratton looking a little better? Is Cade looking a little better? Who knows? We'll decide at game time, and we're just going to roll with it. Scary place to be. It would just be much better if we were just like, yeah, our quarterback, solid. You know, most important player on the team? Yeah, that we got consistency and just good play at it, right? I mean, it's like just not the situation.
Didn't Nate Stanley break the record for like most consecutive snaps taken? Or was that CJ?
Like most for an consecutive Iowa snaps taken for an Iowa quarterback?
Yeah, something like that. I think it was either Nate or CJ.
He started for 17, 18, 19?
19.
3 years? I mean, there's got to be.
I don't think he ever got hurt.
Played in a bowl game every year, so he would have started. He would have started 39 games in a row.
When was the last time we had a 3-year starter?
Wasn't CJ?
No, it wasn't CJ. Obviously not Rudock.
Wasn't Rudock? I don't think it was. Vandenberg.
Stansy was two.
Stansy was like 2-ish. He might have. That might be a stat.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you whose game started streak he doesn't touch, and that's yours truly.
Is yours like they have to go to the college football playoff one time to break yours, right?
Yeah, I have the all-time Iowa start consecutive start record for any player, any position in the history of the program.
4 years, bowl game each year, plus a Big Ten championship.
So it's 53. The only one who could have beat me was I think Nico had a chance. And then he got hurt for a game and he didn't start.
Well, he was also there for 6 years, so.
Right. I guess that might be a Mickey Mouse record. Desmond had a chance, and he ended up getting suspended 1 year for like the first half.
Yeah,
the first quarter of a game. So he messed that up.
Otherwise, you guys would have tied.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really my only calling card is the Polecat and the one just completely unimportant record that I have.
There's someone you share that record with, though, you know?
I tried to think back and look for it one time, and...
Oh, but you know what? Because you have the Big Ten championship, so...
Right, and so that's the kickers. They didn't play it.
Even before 2015, if there's a four-year starter and they went to a bowl game every year...
It would only be 52.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I'm the only one.
So you're saying there's a huge asterisk, then, with the Big Ten championship on the...
Well, yeah, I mean, okay. Theoretically, there were definitely Hawkeyes who started for 4 years. It's a hard record to break, though, because well,
what about anybody currently that?
So that's the thing is they went to the championship in 21.
Someone on the team could have gone to two.
So it would have to be someone who started in 21 and has started all the way through this year, or started in 20,
23, 24.
Yeah. Elkin had a shot too. Funny because it's another long snapper, but the issue with that was I think this is his fourth year. He technically does have another year next year, so he could astronomically set this. I don't know if he'll stay. His first year of starting was when Spiewak kind of had the yips, and he didn't start until the second or third. He didn't start until the third game. He got brought in the second game against Iowa State. Started his first game the third game of the year, so he's going to be one short. But yeah, I don't know. Stratton could be the answer. Stratton could take the Hawkeyes to the stratosphere. Who knows?
But a
lot of potential clickbait titles and thumbnails for this one.
If he starts going off, we got to make like a
Stratton. Oh, there's got to be a Shaggy shirt.
No. We got to make like a Stratton Oakmont meme from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. Dude, there's so many NIL. Oh, my God, dude. Do we superimpose his face over the Monahan? Yeah, his NIL opportunities could absolutely skyrocket.
By the way, Nate Stanley started 39 games in a row.
Yeah, that was
anyone's curious.
But
it's pretty good.
We'd have to go back and see how many snaps, though.
I can't find snaps. I don't got the. I think someone
probably a few more than you.
Yeah, I would say more.
Yeah, the snaps record is so far ahead of me. I'd love to go back and actually get the stats on that. I think I probably averaged somewhere between 8 and 10 snaps a game.
10 sounds high.
I mean, you're talking punts and PAT field goals.
Yeah, but you're only doing one or the other every drive.
Yeah, but it's usually one of the two.
That's true.
And there's how many drives does a team average? Iowa, not a ton, but it's probably more than 8.
It's probably around there. Turnovers though,
true.
Every now and then.
Sure. Never enough to hit that 25 play threshold.
Nate Stanley was punting there for a little while.
Yeah, we had a little. I mean,
we got to bring that back. That was a lethal weapon for a couple of years there.
Things we need to bring back from the Stanley era: the fucking quarterback sneak, which we can't really afford to do at this point anymore, and the QB punt.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley hit a couple 40-plus yarders.
I just want
to do it end over end, and there's no one back there, and he just kicks and goes.
It's not about how pretty it is. It's all about function.
Exactly.
Are we sure Stratton can't punt?
Stratton might be able to boom it. I mean, at this point, I'm convinced he can cook the team dinner, too.
I mean, just given how effective that was, though, I'm surprised. Like, we should just like once a week, 15 minutes, once a week. Teach the quarterbacks to punt.
Yeah, you catch a team off guard, you completely take out any sort of return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Although Dakin has been elite, he's top 20 in the country.
Yeah, but you know, I get what I'm saying. There's no returner back there, like
right. You completely eliminate the risk.
Yeah.
Other storylines for this game. Brian is going to be on the other sideline. KF was asked about the emotional side of that. He basically said he just has a ton of respect for Mike Locksley. He's happy that as a father, his son is around good people, which ultimately is what KF cares about the most. So that answer is not surprising. And that, like, it's really no surprise. Like, you know, they both have an objective on game day, and they want to win the game, and they kind of understand what the other side's trying to do. So there's really, he said, quote, not a great time for a family reunion, but I mean, sort of to be expected. So it will be interesting. I wonder if Brian at all has like a little twinge of like, you know, the Hawks do well on a play here and there. And he's like, hell yeah, come on. Like if he's cheering for us a little bit deep down inside, or if he's like, you know,
probably not.
I would say probably not.
I mean, it's family, but like, it's a football game. It's, you're not going to war, right? It's like,
sure.
You want to, like, when you play a game with your brother, your sister, or whatever, like, when I play with my kids eventually, like, they ain't winning for free, all right? They got to earn that shit, all right? I assure you, each of them wants to win very much.
Yeah. It's not your kids
are by the fact up. That they have a family member on the other side. It's like, oh, well, at least I lost to them. Like,
I'm of the same opinion there. Like when Kinley starts to be able to like actually dribble and, you know, bump a volleyball around, like it, she's going to get the work. Okay. But I cannot wait for little Kevin Ward to be running around and then just be like, my dad's an asshole. He never lets me win.
I saw a post on, I forget which social media, but it was like every year on the dad's birthday, he races his kid.
Yep. 40.
Yeah. Well,
see, how long do you think you could do it?
Well, it depends on when you have kids too, right?
Well, of course.
Do I at 40 beat, I mean,
in your situation, the you I could definitely, have you're good till 40 for 40. Sure.
So I think I beat a 10-year-old kid at 40.
For sure.
I don't think I beat a 15-year-old kid at 45, so somewhere between there.
It's in between that range, especially your kid who's likely going to be an athlete. And, yeah, 15-year-olds can absolutely fly. And,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
And they won't have –
You're doing pretty well if you're still anywhere near your top speed at 45.
Okay, I would say 95, maybe 99% of 45-year-olds can't even sprint without hurting themselves right now. It's actually one of the sadder things in the fitness industry is how it's like 95% of people never sprint again after 30 years old.
Sprinting's great for you.
Oh, it's unbelievable. When's the last time you sprinted, Grant? Better get on it.
It's been a little bit, I'm going to be honest. For someone who used to sprint daily for a long time.
Exactly.
Like 20 years. Actually, probably not 20 realistically. But
15?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's been for my own like personal reasons. I haven't done it for a little bit, but I'd say maybe like I think I sprinted a couple times on the pickleball court over the summer.
Quick little burst. Yeah.
Yeah. Quick burst, maybe. But
it's been a little bit. Prime example. People think your metabolism slows down drastically as you get older. Turns out you just stop moving a lot more. You just become extremely sedentary. That's another conversation that people aren't ready to have yet. Speaking of kids, shout out to Josie Jewell and the Jewell clan. Going to have number 3.
Oh, very cool.
And supposedly, in the way I read the caption by McCole was that this will be their last one. Now, for humanity's sake, I hope that whatever form of permanent contraception that they approach fails and that they have 6 or 12 or 40 more kids. Because as I told Josie in the group chat, the world needs more Jewels. That bloodline needs to I'd be fine if each of his kids decided to have 3 or 4 of their own. Because that bloodline needs to – that's a Viking bloodline right there, Kev.
Yep, straight from the straight from Norway.
Straight from Scandinavia. Tougher people. Stronger. More mentally capable. It's just true, Grant. Don't give me that look.
I'm not doing any look. You'd think if you got to like 12, one of those has to be another All-American linebacker, right?
12 kids? Yeah.
Sure. Like if Josie got 12 shots at it.
If Josie had 12 boys, four of them are all, yeah, okay. They're all probably one third of them are all Big Ten. You probably get at least two NFL players.
We'll make recruiting a lot easier for Brad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why Josie's just honestly a selfish person. The fact that they are only having three. No, but we're happy for Joe's. He's you talk about the American dream. Josie's living it. That is a beautiful family.
Married his high school sweetheart.
High school sweetheart. They're going to
play for his home state.
All American, literally. Set himself up financially. Owns a couple businesses. Fucked us out of outlaw farming. We could have all been rich. But hey, you know.
So he was a Denver Bronco. I'm assuming that's every young football player's dream.
It was his dream, actually. He was a Bronco fan.
He was? Oh, yeah.
There's a picture of 5-year-old Josie with a Bronco helmet on.
That's actually so cool. I wasn't before, but avoid
just terrible teams. Like, he's never.
Poor guy's never going to make the playoffs. Yeah, but well. it is what it is.
We'll take him back if he. I bet you if he called Coach Payton, let's say March, there's a non-zero chance. He's like, oh, why not?
I'll offer to re-sign him, just not nearly as much as Carolina offered him.
Yeah. It wasn't that they didn't want him. It's just that Carolina had deeper pockets at the time.
Freaking his own Walmart, and you can't shell out a few extra milk.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
If it were up to me.
Although the guy who owns the Panthers is filthy loaded, too.
They all are. They're billion-dollar teams.
He's too busy throwing drinks on people at the stadium.
But. Yeah, he has some issues, I think, right? This is the point I wanted to make as we get down to the end here. This is – there might be a lot of fans out there these last two games that are like, I'm tuned out, right? This game doesn't matter. This season no longer matters. And I just have a counterpoint to that, maybe a thought experiment to run through your own brain. And that is, this game absolutely mattered. Maybe the Nebraska one more than the Maryland one, but when you look back and you have all these conversations that you get into on Twitter or with your buddies, or maybe you're friends with Iowa State people, God bless you, and you know, you get into an argument, and they're like, well, so, Iowa, you guys never make a big game, and you're like, oh, well, Iowa State's the worst program in all of football history. And some of the things you fall back on are Iowa wins eight games every year, right? Iowa has all these trophy games that they win every year. They just house these trophies. And there's two very important games on the line that have implications on that final record and a season that you will look back on and say, well, even in our worst season, we beat Nebraska. Even in our worst season, we were 3-1 in trophy. Like there is something to play for here, not just for the players, but it's at stake for the fans. And I think you're lying to yourself if you say you're not invested in these games still. I think Kinnick on Black Friday is going to be a sellout. There's going to be 70,000 drunk Hawkeye fans that are very enthused to go watch that game. These seniors only have a couple opportunities left. And I remember this time of senior year, Kevin.
We were 6-4.
Things start to get – and it still felt like everything was on the line because your career is quite literally – It's narrowing in.
I remember just being like, it's scary. It's like, oh my God, dude, we're a week and a half away from being done.
Every day feels like it just slips away.
Yep.
So there's a lot to play for. 8-4 is still respectable at the end of this year. If you go and win a bowl game, 9-4 is respectable.
Not a lot of teams win 9 games.
More don't than do. Opportunities and another bowl trip of travel and experiences for the guys on this team. If you care further than just the jersey and you care about the guys in the jersey.
You care about the program, man. Like just heading into the future, like,
yeah,
it's easier to commit to a 9-3 team or 9-4 team than a 6-6 team, 6-7, 7-6.
You just
care about leaving the program in a good place that's been good to you for however long you've been there, whether it's 5 years or year and a half.
Exactly. So that's what I got to say on that. I don't have much else on this game. Maryland supposedly has a pretty talented quarterback, and maybe, as according to KF, maybe the deepest three receivers in the conference. And that's including Ohio State.
Their offense is pretty good. Like they've been in a weird they've been in a, like a we outgained this opponent and lost situation.
Well, I mean that's Iowa's MO. We rarely outgain opponents, but I don't have a lot of, as always, I don't have a lot of matchup or game.
Yeah, I watched Maryland versus Northwestern. That's the only Maryland Terrapins film I've watched this year. They have one really good receiver. Apparently, KF thinks they have two more.
Not as good as him, but yeah, quality.
What do you think of the stadium? I thought the stadium was a decent place to play. Kind of like that little, like a little mini bowl.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. The locker room was dog shit.
Locker room was terrible.
It's a good stadium.
If you've ever been to a
ugly uniforms and
yeah,
really ugly logo.
So you just hate the state flag of Maryland.
I do. Yes,
that's absolutely. That's not. They didn't invent that. That's just the state flag.
I know.
And it's horrible.
Why do we have like a 12th century coat of arms for our state flag? Like,
well, and here's the thing: you're one of the, when you're talking about mascots, you're a terrapin, right? That's a turtle.
Yeah, right. This is a form of tortoise, I believe.
So you're one of the only schools who has a turtle or form of turtle as your mascot. Come up with something cool.
Oh, they got a cool little terp logo.
Okay,
kind of like we got a Herky one where he's charging.
Use that, dude. Use a savage ass turtle as your logo.
I have watched a few nature documentaries in my day, and I know that when turtles are born, there's a lot of birds that go picking off all them turtles trying to dash it to the sea. So
this is a good one for the Hawks then, huh?
If Hawks David Attenborough says anything about it.
Hold on. Here's another one. Turtles should be the scared of the Hawks.
Oh, I was confused. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know where you're going with that one.
I'm just trying to get the old thumbnails.
I think when I was in seventh grade, I accidentally got locked inside of Maryland's stadium, like trying to explore it on my own with my dad. We got like passed. We followed someone through like doors that don't like locked on like the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't have like badges or anything to get through, so we accidentally got like stuck in the.
I liked the stadium. For those who are wondering how big and spacious and nice the opposing locker room was, I don't know if they've changed it, but if they haven't, it is quite literally, think of like your mid-2000s middle school locker room. It's that. And it might be worse than that.
It's like a bench in the middle, like a standard park bench without a back. You know, you got two stakes in the ground and a plywood over it, and there's lockers around the perimeter.
So, yeah, the room might have been 60 by 20. Maybe. It was unbelievable.
You would have loved our D3 class. It's just a classroom locker room.
Yeah, that's – yeah. Grant, could you pull up real quick before we go into the awards winners here, try and get out of here a little early tonight. Could you pull up the old G-Bone top 25?
Oh, shoot. Okay.
The one that matters.
We haven't talked about this in forever.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Okay, hold on. My computer's frozen, actually. This is my bad.
Wow, unbelievable.
I will say this is the most, not this top 25. I think this is fine. But the new college football one is some of the most delusional stuff I've ever seen in my entire life.
Now, immediately, you go to the tie for sixth here with your 10, potentially 10-2 SEC teams.
Correct.
And that's
you try and rank these teams.
No, I know. I don't have any. I don't have. I think the bias towards Georgia and Alabama would be.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess. Tennessee beat Bama, who got beat by Georgia, who got beat by Ole Miss, who lost to
Ole Miss, lost to Kentucky.
Kentucky, who's not ranked, and they also lost to LSU, who's no longer ranked.
What are your guys' thoughts on the current discourse and conversation online about the SEC pushing for basically like as many teams as they can possibly get in and just shitting all over Indiana and saying that they should not get in if Indiana loses a single game?
Well, why are you going after Indiana when there's a team right in there as well at number six right now, not in this poll, that lost to Northern Illinois at home? Like, what? Why are you so mad at Indiana? Like, that even if they lose to Ohio State, they have an argument like – Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. Why are you talking about them?
I will say this. Like, Indiana's 10-0, and they're having a great season, and they've looked good in those 10 games, too. Like, they're not just squeaking by 10-0. They've looked good.
Yeah, they're handling them.
But their toughest win, I believe, is a 5-5 Michigan.
Sure. Yeah. And I understand.
5-5 Washington, I think.
And that's – I get that. Here's the problem is part of this – 12-team playoff, like when you extend it to 12, you should be extending it to a place where if there's a team, any team with one loss, unless it's any power team with one loss, power four, at 12 teams, that team should be in.
Probably, yes. Yeah, I'm totally there with you. All I'm saying is that as of Thursday morning, the week before the Ohio State game, Indiana's, to me, is still a little bit of an unknown quantity here.
I would agree with
you. What they do this weekend will be huge. Even if they don't win, like if they're within, like the spread is 2 touchdowns. Like if they cover the spread, like there's no question they're in.
Grant, how much money would you pay to secure an Army victory over Notre Dame this weekend?
Like I write a number down and it happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would be fun for
the world.
I think it'd be just fun for the world. Cause then it also, we joked around, I think like 3 weeks ago about like, cause I think Hassel brought up of like, hey, what if the Big 12 just got left out?
Yeah.
I mean, yes. I mean, then, Army wins this game.
They're going to have a serious discussion.
Right? They've got to be in.
There is still a chance. Yeah. Because I don't know Army's last game of the year.
It's Navy. It's the conference championship.
Okay, so it is. Okay. They're probably going to beat Navy. Like, you can't leave undefeated Army out of the 12. Again, I know it's Army. It's not a – like, you cannot leave an undefeated – this can't be a Florida State situation from last year. You got to put an undefeated team in there. So the way this is set up, say Oregon wins the Big Ten. Somebody wins the SEC. Boise State wins their conference.
Yeah, and you can't leave a Boise State team that's only loss is a single possession to the number one ranked team.
By three on the road to the number one ranked team in the country.
Yeah, Miami Miami wins the ACC. Now all of a sudden the top four
slot. Well, I don't know about that. SMU is looking like the
– okay, one or the other, right? Like the Big 12 is in trouble, especially if the teams at the top continue – like they lose in the next couple.
Like look at this weekend. BYU – is an underdog to Arizona State.
Yeah.
And then Colorado, I think, is only a 3-point favorite to Kansas.
Yeah.
Like if those two lose, it's looking bleak.
Well, I don't
like
think
that is some real chaos.
I don't think a 2-loss Big 12 team gets in.
Champion does just because there will be riots if they don't.
I think
the champion squeezes in.
As the last team? Because that team's not going to be ranked in a spot that they get in at large. Or you they will be.
My rankings look very different than the actual rankings.
No, I understand. I understand. So can you pull up the actual rankings, Grant, just for sake of argument here?
Big 12 gets an automatic bid.
No, it's just that five. It's the 5 highest ranked conference champions. It's not a specific conference.
Oh fuck! So if Army's
could be literally anything.
Just way
Army
best in an American, they'd be ranked above them.
The Big 12 is collectively cheering for Army and Boise State to shit down their leg because there is a real situation where BYU is your or Colorado is your highest ranked Big 12 team, and they're the champion of the conference, and it isn't in a spot ranking wise where it gets them in the playoff.
Yeah, they're not the highest. But I think the committee would pull some committee-ish stuff and just
stay in there. I agree with you that they would be like, they would rank
them. They do some mental gymnastics and they, we need a Big 12 team in here just for TV ratings.
Right, right.
Like, they did some serious mental gymnastics to leave Florida State out last year.
Sure did. That's unbelievable.
And they've shown they have no hesitancy about doing it, so they'll do it again.
If the SEC had their way, it might just be an all-SEC playoff.
All right, so pull that back up. Who's got a real shot at getting in besides your four tied for sixth teams? Wins out there. They've got a decent.
I would say it's Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Texas A&M,
Texas,
and Texas.
Well, Texas, yeah. But like, Texas does not have an impressive win on their schedule.
Texas has the same amount of impressive wins as Indiana right now. I mean,
it's true.
This is their actual top 25 right now.
This is the actual top 25. So you've got Texas at 3, Bama at 7, Ole Miss at 9, Georgia at 10, Tennessee at 11, A&M at 15.
I mean, Texas A&M might play in the conference championship.
They could. I think they're going to lose this weekend, but we don't know that officially yet.
I mean, yeah, they've got Auburn and Texas to close it out, but I mean yeah. if Texas A&M wins out and Texas loses that game, goes 10-2 with no impressive wins, does Texas get left out?
I think if Texas loses a game, they're done. I'm going to be honest.
I'm telling you right now, at 14-16, the Big 12 is just – they're playing with fire.
I don't know how I want an explanation as to how BYU – beat SMU.
That is the craziest thing.
And is still ranked behind them.
That is the craziest thing on earth. Those two should be flipped, and there's just no.
I would love to hear the breakdown of that, and then also how Mizzou has just.
I saw somebody, Grant, you're going to love this. I saw somebody, hey, statement loss, right?
Sure.
Statement loss. I saw somebody arguing this point. Both 9-1 football teams. SMU's loss is to BYU. BYU's loss is to who? Somebody that's
Kansas.
Kansas. They looked right past the head-to-head matchup of two 9-1 football teams to say, well, SMU has the better loss. And they were legitimately arguing this. And somehow failed to consider that that loss is to the other team in the conversation.
And it's just
– makes no sense.
Like, it's so rare, and when we get to this late in the season where we're comparing – out of conference teams that have won loss, and there's like we actually have an on-field product,
right,
to show like who might be better, and then it's just totally thrown out the window. Like I have no idea. Like last year when we were in this situation with like Florida State and Alabama, like we could have if they played each other week three or whatever, like BYU and SMU did, that would have been perfect, right? As they're like both going to be teetering for a playoff spot, and then they just threw it out the window this year. They don't even care.
I think all the issues.
Like, how can we wrangle in as much viewers and as much money from this college football playoff as we possibly can?
Absolutely.
Well, that's my other thing too. So the Big 12 is in kind of jeopardy right now, right? But like the BYU beat currently the highest ranked team in the ACC.
Yeah.
Or the second highest. I don't know how Miami managed to do what they've done this season and still is squeezed in there with Alabama and Ole Miss and Georgia. It baffles me. Like, yeah, I have no clue how they've done that. But, like, sometimes I'm like, should the ACC be in more trouble? Like, or why are we just ignoring the ACC?
Yes, they should be. I don't know. I sense some more changes coming in the structure of the playoff because they're running into a lot of issues, specifically with, like, how those top four seeds shake out, the rules around those. I wouldn't be surprised if this thing goes to 14 or 16 teams very quickly.
Well, people are going to be really mad too if this ends up happening, where like Georgia has two losses, they're the last team in, and then like Ohio State or Oregon, who gets the 5, let's say, or Indiana maybe
has to play Georgia,
gets rewarded with Georgia in the first round after having an 11-1.
Hey, go beat them. You know, like that's when those teams have to prove it. Like, hey.
Right, and that's the thing. At the end of the day, right, this is all to determine who is the best team in college football this year. Once you're in, it's just like, okay, you're in. If you are the best team, like Kluber said, go prove it. You beat the other best teams in the country.
I will say this. There's nothing I want more than like a 12-seed Georgia or Alabama to have to go up to a snowy game in Penn State playoff game.
Well, I think right now there's two SEC road games up north.
I want nothing more.
If it ended today, if this was it, it would have two, I believe.
I want Alabama in the snow against Ohio State in the horseshoe. Like, I want that so bad. We've always talked about it. Bring an SEC team the last week of November to Kinnick Stadium at 6:30 p.m. Bring them.
Here, I'll try and get a get the actual bracket.
Because that's just like a normal home game, right, as far as tickets go. Like, the opposing teams get, like, their allotted share, like 5,000 tickets, and that's it.
There could be a higher allotment.
It's not like a game where they get 50-50.
There could be a higher allotment, but it's not going to be a 50-50. It's going to be – I think part of your seating is you get that home team advantage of, like, yeah, you get your normal – it's going to be a home atmosphere.
So this is it right now.
Yeah, I mean, those away games for that first round, like, it'll be tough. Like, I think, yeah, Ohio State wins at BYU just because they're better, but, you know, Georgia going to Penn State, like,
God,
probably the better team, but that's a home field advantage in a big, big way.
In the cold.
According to DraftKings, the hypothetical spreads of these games would be Georgia -1 at Penn State, Ole Miss -3.5 at Indiana, and then Alabama -1 at Notre Dame.
God, I'd be fine with it.
This would be awesome. And remind me, what week are the first round? Is it the week after Army Navy?
I think it's like the 20th or something. I think it's really close to Christmas. That's what it is.
So yeah, that'd be the following week after the Army Navy.
God, I would pay for these games right now. They would be. I'd be glued to the TV. You talk about a guy who is very casually a watcher of all of college football. I watch all the Hawkeye stuff, obviously. Dude, I would be glued to Georgia at Penn State.
So, well, how are they going to time out? Are we going to have like an 11-1, a 3, and a 6:30 game or something?
I don't know,
like
that? But that quad box is going to be going.
It's probably just stacked. Like, I think two of these games are one day, and then two of these games are the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, I do love the scenario though of Ohio State, who's the number two team, has to win a game to play the number 12 team.
No, honestly, yeah, this scenario that is about as good as a path as you could want for Ohio State.
It's, well, then their issue. BYU,
that's what they keep saying. The best
and then
place
going
to go.
Back to Oregon, who you probably should have beat.
Yeah, the best place to go is to be the 5 seed, because then you get this higher seeded outside of the bracket. You get a higher seeded, you know, last conference champion right now.
Would it make a ton of sense though for Ohio State to have to play? So, like, let's say they play here in the Big Ten championship. This is the bracket. So then they have to play Oregon a third time to get to the championship?
I think if Ohio State loses in the Big Ten championship, they're not going to be the number two ranked
team. Okay, yeah, that would make sense.
So they probably wouldn't be the 5 seed.
I think they would try to.
Either way, if Oregon's in that spot, they would just eventually wind back around to playing them again, wouldn't they?
There's a chance, but.
Possibly, right?
It's what you're going to get when you have a 12-team playoff and a couple great teams in a single conference. Either way, it's going to be exciting, and I think it's going to continue to evolve, but it'll still always be exciting. Let's do some
DJ Kevin.
Yeah. All I do is win. And all we do is win. Not all we do, but we do a lot of winning. There's a lot of good winning going on.
Above the profitable rate.
Yeah. Fun segment, Ward's Winners, brought to you by could be you. Could be your company. Do you want to sponsor Ward's Winners? I'll sell it for bottom dollar. We currently have no sponsor there. As is right now, if you have a company, $50. Start the bidding.
Well, what negotiation tactic is this? We're better than $50.
The negotiation that currently we're making $0 on a segment sponsorship, and we could be making $10. That's a 10x profit increase, Grant.
It's a Panchero's burrito right there.
Hell yeah.
No free ads.
We're going to actually have to do $20 because that's – one's a snack, two's a meal. I'll kick this off. I'm serious about that sponsorship, by the way. Jim's Flooring could be sponsoring Ward's Winners whenever you want, Jim. I'm going to kick this one off. We're going right to that Indiana-Ohio State game. I think Indiana's playing with that fire that we did in 2015, Kev. There's a little external motivation. And when you haven't been broken yet, that adds just a little element to it. And yes, they're underdogs by quite a bit this weekend. I think they're going to keep it close. They're +13 going into the horseshoe. Give me Indiana to cover plus 13 against the Buckeyes. This pick is ill-advised, this next one. But the opening of this show and the 20 minutes that we hyped up Jackson Stratton have me believing. Okay, I'm in the stratosphere. Iowa minus 6 at Maryland? They might know something we don't, actually, with that. They might know who Jackson Stratton is and what he's capable of. He has been, as Grant put it, unlocked by Tim Lester. Jackson's taking us to the promised land, man. Iowa Hawkeyes minus 6 this weekend. I'm going to regret that. so ridiculous. Old Faithful at this point, and Appalachian State can play some football, especially when they're home. But JMU has just been so trusty when I take them. JMU minus 7.
I'll say App State's not – they haven't been the usual this year.
No, they haven't.
I would feel better about that than you were. Yeah. You say minus Madison, 7, by the way.
Minus 7, and I'm actually doing 4 picks today. I know. I think Colorado and Deion Sanders, they're in a bit of a trap situation here, and the line says so. They're only minus 3 against Kansas. Kansas is not a good football team this year, but they had an exciting game against Iowa State. They've caught a little bit momentum. I think Colorado is on a war path, and they're trying to prove people wrong. There's a massive chip on their shoulders over there in Boulder. Give me Colorado minus 3. Those are my 4 picks of the day, of the week. Grant?
Do I go? Okay.
Everybody yeah, buckle up. Grab your popcorn.
We're going to have to run into a segment to be Grant's Games of the Week or something like that.
The Alliteration Awards winners is good, though. And then you gotta remix a new song. Like, it's, I don't know. I like awards.
Twitter works so hard on that.
Hey, the branding rights to that song are super expensive. I went double platinum in 2020. I have Kansas plus 3.5 to start. I like what Kansas is doing right now. They can win out, potentially go to a bowl game. They've just been the kick in the groin to the Big 12 Conference and kind of to just the playoff this whole year, the past month at least. So I'm going to take Kansas plus 3.5. And then on the other side, Arizona State minus 3.5. I'm starting to think Arizona State might just be the best team in the Big 12. They're, I feel like a sneaky.
Got a chance.
Two-loss team right now. And you see on game day last week, they were playing Kansas State. And like Desmond was like, why are we even talking about these guys? Like, we don't care about them. A little motivation maybe there for him still going in this week. Arizona State minus 3. Just respect the troops. I'm taking Army plus 14.5 at the Pinstripe Bowl. Or not. Well, I guess it's Yankee Stadium. I mean, but where the Pinstripe Bowl would be. So I'm taking Army plus 14.5. Auburn plus 2.5 versus Texas A&M. Fresno taking on Jackson Stratton's former school, Colorado State, this weekend. Colorado State could be in the Mountain West championship game. They're having a pretty solid season, but I'm gonna take Fresno State.
If they had Jackson Stratton, they damn sure would be.
I mean, we have no evidence against that right now.
No. It's the Jackson Stratton Tim Lester combo that's lethal.
True. That's true.
Someone has to unlock Jackson Stratton.
You're right.
Fresno minus 3.5. UCLA plus 4.5 versus USC. Kind of, I'm excited to see this one in the Big Ten. A little classic rivalry there. Duke plus 3 versus Virginia Tech. UTSA minus 16.
Stinks.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't remember who they're playing. I'm just going to play. I don't know who they're playing. I wrote it down. I wrote this down earlier this morning, and I don't remember who they're playing.
But love them, dude. You should feel good about it.
But it's a great pick regardless. Wisconsin plus 2.5 versus Nebraska. I don't need any stats. I don't need anything except did you guys see the quote earlier this week that Dylan Raiola guaranteed victory?
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's not
good. Oh, that's bad. So that's a freshman mistake right there.
Yeah.
His teammates hate him, by the way.
I think I could find it eventually, but there's an On3 post where he guaranteed victory. So
UTSA minus 17 against Temple, by the way.
I love it. Someone sent me the Grant best stat of the year. Every single team that has an owl as their head coach fired their coach this year. It's a horrible time to be an owl. It's like, thank you for sharing that.
Rice? How many owls are out there?
FAU three. Just FAU, fired their coach.
Rice, Temple, and FAU.
Kennesaw State fired their coach. They're the Owls. They fired the only coach they've ever had. That was their only coach ever, and they fired him.
Damn.
That's tough. It's tough out there.
But yeah, I'm taking Wisconsin was the summary of that conversation, plus 2.5. And then Minnesota plus 11.5 versus Penn State. I just look at that.
I like that one too.
And it's like, why? Why is that the line? That seems very strange. And I don't know. Minnesota's been a little hot. It's cold up there. That's my only argument. And that's exactly what they want you to think. That's exactly what they want you to think. All right.
They're playing a game with you, Kevin.
That's why they're dangling that 11 at you. They're like, oh, what could happen? I don't know. It could be wrong. It could. I don't know. I'm not good at this.
Not financial advice.
I don't know. I just told you I'm taking Wisconsin because of a quote.
That's solid right there.
That's worth at least a fraction of a point.
That's a lock.
Mississippi State +7. They're not good this year, but
why not?
Why is that line 7? That screams issues for them. So I'm going to take Mississippi State there, and then that's it.
That's it.
Those are all the picks.
I'm telling you, man, the analysis is worth your weight in gold. If you, as a potential sponsor of this segment, don't think that Grant's analysis of games is worth its weight in fucking gold, then you are out of your mind.
I also don't remember who Mississippi State's playing. Oh, I think Missouri. Oh, yeah. Missouri. What are they still doing in the – they're the most fraudulent ranked team out there.
That's true.
How are they still in there?
I think they're three lawyers.
Who is their PR department that's kept them in the rankings? I don't really like Eli Drinkwitz. I don't really like what's going on in Missouri right now. So I'm going to take Mississippi State. There.
Sounds good.
That was my real analysis. I had to look it up first. Who's UTSA playing again? Owls?
Temple.
Loves it even more.
Fuck them Owls.
All right. I'm also going to be on that Indiana game. I will take the Hoosiers. I got them at 13.5.
Wow.
I do think they're a good football team, and I do think that they will be able to keep this one close. They've got talented players, and they play good football, and they're well coached. So I think Indiana can keep this one close. So I'll take the 13.5 there. I'm going to go down to Bama -13.5. So we're going to have a couple of 13.5s, one favorite, one dog. Bama -13.5 versus at Oklahoma. Oklahoma is having a rough year. I don't think they're a very good team. They've got quarterback issues. They've got a bunch of issues. I think Bama will cruise to victory there. I also like that UCLA +4.5, Grant. So that's a good pick out there. I think UCLA is I've got a newfound respect for them. They play hard football, and they play really physical. I think they could give USC some issues. So, I got two more that I don't really love.
Oh, those are the best ones usually for Grant. The ones that really stink, Kev. Those are just give it. Just hand them.
Yeah, I mean, okay, fine. I'll take Penn State -11.5.
Oh, there it is. Yeah,
I've been on the wrong side of the.
What do you mean you don't love it? You were laughing in my face when I picked Minnesota.
What do you mean you
don't love it?
No, I don't love it because I've been on the wrong side of the Minnesota bet. I think four times this year.
Ooh, okay.
Michigan collapsed versus them. USC collapsed versus them. I had them versus Rutgers. And I think I had – I think that's it. Maybe I had them a fourth time, but I cannot pick the right line side of the Minnesota games. But you know what? We're going to give it another try. Right. Give me Penn State.
I believe in you.
I don't know. Yeah.
PJ brought to you
– turns it on, turns it off. I don't know.
Awards winners brought to you by – could be you. You're sitting at home right now thinking, holy shit. You could just sponsor it as a human. George Smith, you could be sitting at home right now. You could just pay us and we could say, Awards Winners brought to you by Jason Williams.
We should honestly do that. We should do an auction every week.
Yeah.
Highest bid gets a shout out.
Now, to close the episode here, I usually just cap it right here and say, well, let's go Hawks. Hawks by a million. Beat the Terps. Beat those fucking Turtles. But I just have an update. Women's basketball is playing currently. We're about to close out this game against Kansas in the the Sanford Pentagon.
Beautiful Sanford Pentagon.
They're up by 12 with about a minute left, as I see on here on the Google. Iowa State, big time women's basketball team, top 10 to start the year this year, undefeated just like Iowa, number 8 in the country, down 13 to the UNI Panthers with 4 minutes to go.
Oh, you're gonna jinx them now. Why did you? You shouldn't have done that. Oh no,
couldn't be me. If they lose, it's their fault. Don't blow it. Right, but I'd actually prefer Iowa State to win that ball game because we don't need good teams with any extra motivation to, you know, it creates a bad spot, Grant. You know what I'm saying? Trap game.
That was a mouse trap for the podcast listeners.
When you zig, Grant zags, and that's just facts.
I didn't zig anything. I think I got zigged by the Temple Owls. They completely
don't be an owl. That's what we learned here. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow, 5-10-5 show with Coach Lima. We'll talk to you next week as a group when we recap the Maryland game. Hawks need to be 7-4 at that point. We need it. Hawks by a million. Talk to you then. See ya. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.